Our first reading today is from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Our next reading is from the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here ends our lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel from John 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus speaking. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your word. You inspired the writing of it, Lord. Help us to interpret it properly and share it with others. Amen. From John 14, because we can't hear this enough. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this three sermon series on the way, the truth, and the life. Last week was on the way, and Jesus being the way, he is the way to the Father, the only way. There are many ways to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way. It's sort of this funnel point where he's the only way. For a children's sermon at St. John's last Sunday, I pulled out a roadmap in Minnesota because I still carry one in my truck. My flip phone doesn't have, you know, a fancy map on it or anything like that. So, and I got these kids seated up by the altar, and I said, you know, can you name some towns in Minnesota? They said Sauk Center. Okay, here it is. You know, and they said, like, Nevis. Oh, there it is. And some different towns and things like that. And I said, okay, do you see heaven on here? No. Well, this map can show me the way to get Sauk Center. It can show me the way to get to Nevis, but can it show me the way to get to heaven? said, no, it's not on there. Well, then how do I get to heaven? I asked these little kids. They're about second, third graders. And they said, Jesus is the way. All right, yes. Yep, they said it all. You know, we don't have a physical roadmap, I guess, to get to heaven, but we have Jesus. And we have his word, and we have his spirit. That spirit who speaks what Jesus, you know, tells them to, because they're one, right? You got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all one. And, yeah, so that spirit is this internal compass that we have that's going to guide us into all truth, as we're going to hear in the gospel today. But we're going to start out in Psalms here. Today the focus is on truth. And like Pontius Pilate asked in the Gospel of John, what is truth? That's a deep question. Philosophers have been probing that for years. What is truth? Is there absolute truth? Today, people are into relative truth, you know, whatever they say is right or believe is right or true, they call truth, I guess. No, there is absolute truth, and it's found in Jesus. And if they're not looking there, they're looking in the wrong place, they're never going to know absolute truth. To know the truth, to know him. Truth, I don't know, you got to be sort of careful with it. Because some things sound pretty good. Like we'd heard in Proverbs last week. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We have to be careful. We have to sort through things. We have to look at the fruits of people who are teaching, especially. It used to be that truth, if you went into court or something like that with photographic evidence, or better yet, video evidence, open shut, right? Today, yeah, look on the computers. You're going to find some pictures that look realistic and even videos that look like it's the actual person saying the actual words. But it's not truth. Looks like it. And a lot of people would accept that as truth. Can't argue with a picture or video, right? But with AI and things like that now, it's getting a little tougher to tell the truth sometimes. You have to do a little bit of digging. And we should too. We shouldn't just blindly accept things that we're told. Do not blindly accept things. Even what I'm saying up here, don't blindly accept it. Okay? Right there. Get into that word. Let the Spirit speak to you. And then I'm going to try to speak it faithfully, okay? So, but yeah, absolutely. You got to hear it from the source. You got to get back to the source. Because after all, the Bible, I see it as truth. You go to the library, you do not find the Bible in the fiction section, okay? Fact, it's not in the fiction section. Okay, you'll be in the 200s of the Dewey Decimal System, which is the studies of religion. But yeah. So today, a little bit more on truth, like I say. And we can trust in God because his truth is absolute. His ways are unchanging. His love is unchanging. He is unchanging. I'm going, wow, and he is good. So of course we can put our trust in him. As David wrote in the psalm today, in you, Lord God, my God, I put my trust. Well, who better to put your trust in? Humans are going to let you down sooner or later. Even those you love, they're going to let you down sooner or later. Because we are human. But with God, not going to let you down. He's like the ultimate, okay? There is no darkness in him. He is light. He is good. David writes, I trust in you. Those four words right there. I trust in you. Every coin you pick up, too, or somewhere along the line, someone said, we need to emphasize this. It says, in God we trust, right? Okay. Who bear to trust in? He goes on because he's always facing enemies. David is surrounded and often in battle. He says, do not let me put to shame nor let my enemies triumph over me. We may not have physical enemies today surrounding us, but we have an enemy. And he has all his followers, and they're trying to lead us astray. They're trying to lead us away from the truth into falsehood and into lies. Again, can make a very convincing case many times, but we must put our trust in God. David writes, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. To hope in God. Now, biblical hope, remember, is a confident expectation. It's confidence. It's not just like, oh, I hope this is going to happen. I hope it's going to, no, crossing my fingers. No. No one who has confidence in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your paths. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. He will guide us into all truth, as we heard in the gospel reading today. The Spirit will. And he's going to show us God's ways and teach us his paths. But are we willing to be taught, I guess, is another question. Those of you who have worked in education know what I'm talking about. You've had students that took joy in learning. They just want to be taught. They're absorbing it, and they want more. And you have some others on the other end of the spectrum, which are really, really hard to reach. And if someone's not willing to cooperate and not willing to be taught, it's really hard to get something across. Not only in the classroom, think about growing up when your parents are trying to tell you the truth and things like that. You're a little rebellious, perhaps, not willing to go along with everything. But let us be willing. Let us be just seeking God and wanting more of him. After all, we do. We want more and more of him. Willing to be taught, wanting to learn his ways, wanting to follow him, taking joy in it. That he will guide us into his truth. That's the following verse here, Lord. Or it is guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. His truth, the absolute truth, the unchanging truth. Because if truth changes, it's not truth, right? It's an absolute. An absolute. And I don't know, after years of teaching science, science is been defined as some as a search for truth. We want to know about things. What's this paper comprised of? What's it made up of? You know, the different elements and the atoms, things like that, and then what's inside of those? And we want to know these absolute truths. We look at the stars in the universe, and we want to know the truth behind that. Where did all this come from? The billions of stars out there, well, more than that. There's billions in each galaxy, and there's billions of galaxies. So you got billions times billions, which is a lot. All created, all spoken into existence by God. But in science, we're searching for truth. Philosophers, I suppose, are also searching for truth, too. I guess it's sort of built into us to search for truth, isn't it? Could we say then it's built into us to search for God? We all have a need for him. We search for something because we need him. Or just because we want to know, or we're in awe of what we find. And looking at these atoms and the mathematical ratios and the way they're all put together and the cells in your body, that it's not random chance, okay? It's not random chance. There's no way. I am in awe. For some people say that you can't be a scientist and a believer, but the more I learn about science, the more I am in awe of the Creator. It just leads me into God, and a number of scientists have been led that way too, by searching for truth in their own way and coming up with God. That's really cool. All right, the psalm continues on in a classic verse for me, do not remember the sins of my youth. Okay, yeah. But one source I was reading says, hey, we can learn from our mistakes. That's one good thing, and some of us have to learn the hard way. And it might take two or three times, and we start to catch on, get through the thick skull there. But God is patient, lucky for us. All righty. He instructs sinners in his way again if we're willing to be taught. He guides the humble in what is right if we're willing to follow, and teaches them his way if we're willing to be taught. So good and upright is the Lord. He instructs, he guides, and he teaches. That would mean that he cares for us, I suppose, huh? If someone has, say, like a dog or something they don't care about, do they spend any time with them or no? Do they guide him, instruct him, teach him, care for him? No. But if you've got something that you value, a pet, obviously a child, hopefully, but unfortunately not all children are brought up the right way. You instruct, you guide, and you teach. You care. And God does care for us. All right, so a little bit on David there in truth. And David, a great writer, as well as a great warrior and a great ruler. He had a lot of things going for him, but very human, of course, as well. We heard about truth, of course, in the second reading today from Timothy. Second chapter of Timothy, not written by Timothy, but written to Timothy. This is Paul passing the mantle, like Elijah did to Elisha. Paul knows his time is short. Timothy is going to be his son in the faith, his successor, and he's equipping him. He's teaching him. He's guiding him. He's instructing him. That sounds familiar. Okay. Because he cares about him, and he wants him to carry this message on after he's gone. And the message is still being carried today by us and others. So as he's writing to Timothy, he says, I give you this charge, this mission to complete. Preach the word. Again, that's to Timothy, but also to all of us. To preach the word, not only with what we say, but our actions as well. Because many times actions do speak louder than words. Be prepared in season and out of season. Absolutely be prepared. Be prepared for the second coming. Be prepared to share your faith. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I've spoken on this before. You know, we are to correct, rebuke, and encourage each other. Hopefully a lot of the encouragement. But do we all need correction sometimes? Yeah. And if you do that, do it gently, please. Do it gently. I need correction. We all do. But he said with great patience and careful instruction and gently, I would say. All right. And here's getting to the meat of the truth part why I selected this reading. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This has been happening all throughout history, but I could make a case that we see an increase of it today. People creating what they call truth and wanting to follow it. Gathering around a great number of teachers to build them up in that, to reinforce that, to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. We see it today in a number of places. You see it all over the media, some universities, some churches, and some entire denominations straying from the truth. Again, I'm defining truth as God's word. All right, people straying from it. And getting others to encourage it, them in that. And also encouraging others. Hey, come on, join us. We're doing this because this is right, and this just feels right, and this is good, and this is our truth. That I guess they get to define their own truth. Again, that's relative truth. But we have to be aware. People are going to leave churches and have if they don't hear the truth they want to hear. Here I intend to speak biblical truth, okay? And I don't intend to change on that. But the truth can make us uncomfortable. It can do that. The truth hurts, the old saying. If we get too caught up in our own ways, what we think is right, no matter what it is, if it doesn't follow God, no, again, no matter what it is, we get convinced of something. That truth can make us uncomfortable once we realize God's truth. His word, of course, reassures us. There's great reassurances in the Bible. You read it and you go, yes, and thank you, Lord. But it should also make us uncomfortable at times. It should also convict us. And I mean every one of us. Is anyone here perfect? Can anybody cast the first stone? No, none of us. No one is worthy, not one. Okay. So God seeks to correct us out of love. So if we feel convicted by his word, and we should at times, he's trying to correct us. He's trying to get us back on the right course, on the right path to follow him. He's showing us the truth. Let us never be too comfortable thinking, hey, we've got this, we're all good. We know better than everybody else, and we can start to condemn others. No, 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 no. Let us never be too comfortable. Let us be willing to be corrected. We want to improve. We want to do better. And let us seek the truth. And by saying that, I mean seek Jesus, right? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. To follow in his ways. Look at the way he treated others. He had compassion for everybody. Didn't matter who you are, where you come from, he had compassion. He would make time for everybody. He would heal people. He would teach them and he would instruct them. And you'd correct them and rebuke them. It's all part of it. But let us follow in that. To make time for everybody, no matter who they are, where they come from. And let us follow in truth, like I say, not to be misled. Alrighty. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Yeah, and we're constructing new ones all the time. People are. And I guess we probably are too. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So in the midst of all this, keep your head. Follow Jesus. Again, treat others in the way that they should be treated. We don't reject others. We do not condemn others. We welcome others. If someone is strayed, they're following other paths, we certainly welcome them back. We try to correct them gently. Because we all want to be on the true path, and we want others to be on that path with us. And none of us is perfect. Like I say, we need correction as well. So never start thinking that you're better than anybody else. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. So how do we find this truth? How do we know that we're following in truth? Well, here's the role of the Holy Spirit and what we heard in the gospel today. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 are incredible in John. This is Jesus on Monday, Thursday, his last night with his disciples. And we had started out the sermon with, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I have prepared a place for you on the way, the truth, and the life. That starts this discourse, and it continues on through those chapters, four chapters worth, which are incredible. Jesus trying to get the most important things across to his disciples. He knows his time is short. Indeed, the next day he would be dying. So his last words with them, his last thoughts with them, trying to get across those important truths. So these four chapters are, to me, incredible. And Jesus is part of that in the gospel today. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. The Spirit of truth, this Holy Spirit that dwells within us, is going to guide us into truth. We have to be in touch with that Spirit. We have to be willing to follow that Spirit, again, willing to cooperate, that he would guide us into all the truth. He's guiding us to Jesus. This Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears from the Father and the Son, right? They are one. And tell you what is yet to come. There's going to be some prophecy in there. He will glorify me because it's from me that he'll receive what he'll make known to you. So we have this built-in moral compass, this Holy Spirit. When we become believers, he dwells within us. And we can follow that. Now, we're still going to be misled. Of course, the compass can be deflected. We've seen that in children's sermons in the past. If you get near a metal object or a source of electricity, your compass is going to start to point the wrong direction. And we have to make sure that we're pointing the right direction. But he will guide us into all truth. He will reveal who Jesus is. Jesus also, in this same talk with his disciples, says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. An advocate, someone that's on your side, right? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So not everybody has the Spirit of truth. Not everybody recognizes it. It's when you give your life to Christ, when you become a believer, then the Holy Spirit enters in you. You're going to see things in a whole different way. It's sort of like you've been going without glasses for a long time. Yeah, maybe your eyesight slowly degrading. You don't realize how bad it is. But then when you get to put those on, you see things as they are. You see the truth. Whereas before we were seeing blurriness and we weren't interpreting and seeing things right. And thank God for that. When we have this new life in Christ, now we can learn to see things through Jesus' eyes. And we're going to see people in a whole different way. People maybe that you didn't care about before or something like that. Of course, Jesus cares about them. And we get to see it as he does. We're going to have that same compassion for others. He came to seek and to save the lost, right? We once were lost. There's others out there who still are. They're following other truths and things. You know, don't condemn them. Have compassion for them. Try to show them the right way. Pray for them, work with them, that they too would believe, receive, and then be able to see the truth as well, to recognize that truth, That truth that brings freedom. That brings freedom. Turning back to John 8:31 here. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To have freedom. Freedom from sin, death, the power of the devil, from guilt, from shame, from anxiety, any of those things. Hold to my teaching, he says. His teaching's right here in black and white, and also red in this one. Hold to my teaching. Let us stick to that. Then you are really my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have a lot of choices in this life, every day. We can choose which path to go down. We can choose which truth, in quotation marks, to believe. But let us seek the real truth. Let us follow the real truth. And let us learn to live like Jesus. To have that compassion for others. There's a lot that are being guided in wrong ways. Many are following that broad path of destruction. Not thinking that they're following the truth, but they're not. Let us gently correct them. Let us bring them into the realization that they too can join us on this narrow path and that they too can follow and seek the truth. Amen.